From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to your midweek Locked On Chiefs. We have a great show for you coming up with Matt Derrick. We're brought to you today by Visa. Help support your local businesses, whether your corner stores, coffee spots, local shops. Your local businesses have always been there for you and your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support, so let's be there for them. Next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop local and look for that contactless symbol to tap and pay with contactless Visa to help support you and your community. Because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, an official partner of the NFL. With Matt Derrick coming back, we're going to get into the hows and whys. We are going to touch base on both the breakdowns and some of the bright spots coming up later. We have to get into a bit of news. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and your host at RGR Football.
And I am Chris Clark. Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it. And yeah, we have a little bit of news to talk about today.
Yeah, and I hate to see it from this particular person, but there's a new addition to the COVID list for the Kansas City Chiefs, and it is one number 42, Mr. Sherman, to the rest of us.
Yeah, he didn't test positive, so that's a good sign, but he was around somebody that did test positive, so he has to go on a list. This is a new rule as of Monday, so this is something that's they're going to be dealing with over the next couple of weeks. Even if a player doesn't necessarily test positive, they're going to have to go into quarantine if they're around somebody that did test positive for 5 days. So he is on that list for 5 days. With the way that Kansas City's schedule plays out, it doesn't necessarily mean he'll miss the game, but he will be on that list for 5 days.
Yeah, and that is a minimum. There's a possibility he could stay there longer. I think in this situation, by expanding this quote-unquote bubble, that you put guys onto the list when they've been exposed, not necessarily that they're positive. It does make it dependent on part of what happens with that person who was the exposure point. So if that test comes back positive, I think that's going to elongate it. I think right now it's a toss-up whether Anthony Sherman is on the game day roster or not.
Absolutely. And, you know, you'd hope that he's going to be able to be available for that game, but right now we just don't know.
Well, and it opens up a couple of things as well. If he isn't able to go, and I'm going to act right now as though it is, there's already an open spot on this roster. And I think that we discussed about what might be the options. But right now, clearly, for the special teams aspect of it, there's really only one name that you bring up, whether it's for a week or for a signing to the 53. It's got to be Marcus Kemp.
Well, you would think. And there's possibly two open spots and now three, if you really think about it, because you would imagine Kelechi Osemele is going to be headed back down to IR at some point. They haven't done that yet. You know, we still think that they're going to do the same thing with Sammy Watkins, and now you have Anthony Sherman. So lots of questions in three different spots that could be open.
Yeah, it makes this carousel a little bit hard to follow, but I think we'll know some clarification here. Luckily, it's with the Monday night thing, it gives you a little bit of extra room to try to find out. You don't have to make that move today, Tuesday, when they're not in the building. You have that Wednesday time that normally would be your first meaningful practice of the week. You might be able to slide that around a little bit and get yourself an extra time frame in order to make that decision. I'll be real interested to see what they choose to do.
Yeah, well, so will I. And the one thing, Kansas City does not have another fullback. I don't think they have anybody that really plays that position on the practice squad either. So it's possible that they'll be going into this game without a fullback. And that's, you know, the reality of the situation. And maybe they go with four tight ends. Maybe they bring up Ricky Seals-Jones and Nick Heisler goes more to special teams and they use Seals-Jones as more of a pass catching tight end, like what he's supposed to be used for. So, you know, maybe that's a way he actually gets on an active roster for Monday night.
There's a lot still to be filled out as this week goes on and gets fast and furious with the Tuesday night game sliding right into that Monday night contest against the Chiefs. We'll have more for you in a number of different ways. And when we get back, we're going to talk with Matt Derrick, get into the hows and whys and what happens next. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through the game and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that takes Pepsi through the fuel that it needs as well. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs, folks. We have to get back with the man who has the inside capacity to tell me what I don't understand about this team. Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest is back. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing great now that there's somebody out there who thinks I can understand what's going on with this team. So
it's all relative, but
hey, if I can convince somebody of that, we're good.
I just look to you because you have a cooler head than I do sometimes about these things. And it's confounding to rewatch what we saw last week. And again, just see the totality of missed opportunities. That's what it really comes back to for me. And as we go through, we're going to talk about a number of different topics. We should just touch briefly on an update that Anthony Sherman is not going to be available for the Bills. He is on the COVID-19 list as of this point. And not because he's ill, it's because he was exposed to someone else, correct?
Right. He's going on the list because he has been exposed to someone with the virus through contact tracing. So whether that is an individual associated with the team or not, we don't know. But yeah, he himself has not tested positive, but that is the reason he is going on the COVID-19 reserve list. And yes, it would seem to be extremely unlikely that he would be available for the Bills game.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Let me ask you this, the timing of it and finding this out on Tuesday when they're off and out of the building, is that a plus or a minus?
You know, the upside to it is that because this is, you know, they're playing on a Monday, so Tuesday was an off day for everybody. They still have to come in and do their daily testing because that's just part of 2020 schedule. You got to do that. So even though they were not, you know, they weren't doing any work today, they all came in for that. Wednesday scheduled to be a working day as far as just meetings go, and it wouldn't be until Thursday they hit the practice field. So this should not, I mean, in theory, this should not disrupt the next couple of days. But the fact that this does happen on an off day when they weren't planning on doing any work anyway, it certainly doesn't disrupt the schedule any. So that's a good stroke of luck in that regard.
That's how I'm taking it as well. And I don't know. Hopefully Wednesday we'll find out if there's any change in the protocols about what they're doing in terms of the lift schedule on a weekly basis, that kind of thing, with the positive case in the strength and conditioning staff. We don't know who that is yet. At least I don't. That may change how often guys go through the weight room, what their workouts become in order. And a lot of people forget about this. It's not just meetings and practices. There's a lift every week. There's things you have to do to maintain your body and your strength. Does this change maybe their outlook as well about how prepared they are for the Bills?
That's a good question. I mean, they probably will have to have it. You would think they would have some update to their schedule and some change. But at the same time, the Chiefs feel pretty good with, you know, what they have put in place and the protocols that they have in place and the schedules they have in place. And at this point, they haven't had any reason to seriously question that. Yes, they had Jordan Talmu also go to the COVID reserve list about a week and a half ago, but they have not had any additional tests positive as a result of that. And, you know, and the belief of the NFL, the Chiefs from Rick Burkholder and Dr. Alan Sills is the chief medical officer for the NFL. They've said, you know, testing is going to be the measure by which they determine whether or not the protocols are working. And the fact that the Chiefs haven't had any more positive tests is definitely an indicator to the club that they feel like their protocols are working.
Well, that makes sense to me. In terms of the roster itself, probably the easiest decision here is if Anthony goes on the COVID list, Marcus Kemp's there to come up and take some of that special teams pressure off of who's left.
Yeah, and it's going to be really interesting because, you know, put the X factor in there that we haven't heard anything declarative about Sammy Watkins and, you know, how long he could be out. And yeah, I'm thinking along the same lines of you are, that you are most likely to see Marcus Kemp back up on the active roster in one form or another. I mean, the Chiefs have the option of bringing him up on a 1 week basis individually, or they can sign him back to the 53 man roster, depending on what happens with Watkins. Currently they have a spot on the 53, so they could open that up. But yeah, I would certainly see that. That's the biggest loss that you're going to have with Sherman. You can game plan around losing him. But on the offensive side, but special teams, he plays a lot of roles. And so, yeah, you're going to have some guys step into that.
And that's a hole that I think they can temporarily fill. Let's hope that it's not anything longer than that. But like you said, filling the open spot on the 53, it's kind of a toss-up at this point. I was leaning towards another pass catcher, somebody that can actually run routes, because as I watch what happened against the Raiders, it wasn't just the pressure. It wasn't just the fading out of the pocket. All these things kind of combined, but I think some adjustment to what they're doing in terms of routes run and how the receivers work back once a play does break down. I think there has to be more coming back to Patrick. Is that something that maybe might get Jody Fortson a look, or is it just try to buckle down and change the scheme?
I mean, I think from the Chiefs, their attitude's probably any and all solutions are on the table. Yeah, I mean, you kind of even alluded to it earlier. There's a conflicting outcome of this game, which is that, yeah, it was an infuriating game to watch because the Chiefs offense wasn't very good in the second half. They did have a lot of missed opportunities. They had some mistakes. The penalties drove Andy Reid up the absolute freaking wall. So there was a lot of blame to go around for that loss. But at the same point, scored 32 points. That's going to win most games. So it wasn't like the offense was just completely misfiring. It's just that, you know, they had some bad breaks. They made some mistakes. They had some breakdowns, bad timing, all of the above. But still, the second half was consistent with, you know, what this team has struggled with, which is that it's struggling to move the football when teams drop seven or eight guys. And you've got a game plan around that. And if the guys that you got out catching passes can't run the routes and do the things, and, you know, and a big part of that too, and maybe this comes back to the offseason program and the lack of practices, is that a lot of what you're talking about there is a lot of it's pre-snap recognition and understanding what's happening, and the quarterback and the receiver being on the same page so that you can cut off your route short or you can run a hot route. And those things happen with timing and working together. And yeah, you would hope that the Chiefs, with everybody coming back and the experience that they have with Mahomes and this receiver group working together for a few years, but at the same time, all of that happens in the offseason. All of that timing comes down from working with each other throughout the summer, and they didn't have that this year.
It's something that you can't replace either. You can say that we're past that preseason point, and for some of the veterans, I think that's true. The rust is off, and they're getting to the point. I thought Mitch Schwartz played a better game. We did see Eric Fisher give up some pressure, which is a little bit more towards the matchup, I think, than the lack of preseason reps. But at this point, we're seeing a lot of rookies play as well. And so as the team overall, do you feel like they're now hitting the stride of where they would have been, say, week one or two in a normal quote-unquote season?
Yeah, and, you know, we're also hitting that part of the season when, you know, you look at it historically, and I fully expected the Chiefs to come out to a 4-0 start because Andy Reid gets off to 4-0 starts. He's ahead of the league in the first 4 weeks of the season, and it didn't happen the same way that I would expect it, but you look at the Baltimore game for sure. I mean, he was ahead of the Baltimore Ravens. And that is, you know, a big part of just, you know, his preparing for the season and being ready for that game. And so I think at this point, we are seeing a little bit of what happens in the second quarter of the season also consistently, which is that other teams catch up to what the Chiefs are doing. So, yeah, I think that, you know, certainly the Chiefs have knocked off the rust, or like every other team. I think they're past the missing preseason games and that's gone. But you don't have the same chemistry and communication that developed during the offseason because you didn't have one. And you can't, like you said, you can't replace that. You can't just all of a sudden develop that during the season. It's either there or it's not. And, you know, I think that this is where, you know, once again, I mean, this is the point of the season where Andy Reid's got to start making the adjustments because people are going to catch up with the offense. And Mahomes is going to have to do it too because defenses have done their work. They're starting to catch up. They're learning what the tricks are. And the trick is, you know, hey, drop seven or eight guys in coverage until the Chiefs beat it.
And eventually they're going to have to. On the backside of this, folks, we're going to get into how they adapt, what changes they can make, and without getting too outlandish, where they go from here. Built Bar is back along with Built Go and has some great new things for you to try. Some of them are flavors. Some of them are new mixtures, new concepts in what Built does. So check out Built Bar, Built Go, and the whole nine yards. My personal favorite still remains that caramel brownie, and I like that coconut one as well.
Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go check out the peanut butter. It has 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. It is absolutely delicious in my opinion. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Talking about ED isn't easy. Usually just brush it off and blame ourselves, saying things like, I just didn't feel into it tonight, or we avoid it all together and say, honey, I'm sorry. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you free, 2-day shipping.
The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to roman.com/XXX and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to roman.com/LockedOnNFL today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's getroman.com/LockedOnNFL. Getroman.com/LockedOnNFL.
Now, I said all that before the break, knowing that this is a team that's lost one game. I had them at 4-1 after 5 to begin with. I just had them losing the Ravens rather than the Raiders. You know, so this is not the end of the world. And I think that's a few days removed from the football game. I think that feels more and more natural. But it also points out a few things that need to be corrected. I think this team still, after review, I still feel that they took the Raiders too lightly. The Raiders picked up on 16 quarters worth of film that they could study. There were breakdowns at the safety position. There's some issues at the corner position. There's issues at the linebacker position. But I think the thing that sticks out to me upon reflection even more is that it was the defensive line that has been a strength of this team so far that really saw the fall off in their play relative to what they did in the first 4 weeks. Is that a long-term concern for you?
It's not for me, because at this point, the Raiders game is the outlier. And, you know, you make an excellent point, which is that I do think that this team took the Raiders a little bit lightly because they've owned the Raiders. And so they're, to a degree, maybe there's a reason why they would take this game lightly. And in retrospect, I guess it's more of a trap game than probably we acknowledged up front. Because, you know, hey, we don't necessarily take, you know, the Buffalo Bills are a different kind of team, and not everybody takes them seriously yet. I'm starting to take them really seriously because they are a good team. And Josh Allen is starting to prove that he needs to be taken seriously. But I think the Chiefs were, I think the Chiefs had that game on their radar already. Because remember, they were expecting it to be on a Thursday. There was all sorts of questions. That was going to be a tough road trip anyway. So maybe there was. Maybe there was a little bit of, hey, you know what? Let's save what we need for Buffalo. Let's not empty the playbook. Let's not be too creative against the Raiders. Let's not show anything that we just don't want Buffalo to see. And you know what? Defensively, we don't have to be too creative because it's the Raiders. It's Derek Carr. He's going to make mistakes. So I think that, yeah, I mean, I think there's a justification about why the Chiefs might have taken the Raiders seriously. And looking at the game and looking at the film, I think you can absolutely make the argument that they didn't give it their best effort. The concern for me would certainly be that all the credit that we've given to the secondary and the corner group for as well as they played the first four games of the season, I still say was completely predicated on the fact that they were getting pass rush. They were getting pressure up front. And that made life so much easier for all of those guys. They didn't get that pressure against Derek Carr. If you get that pressure on him on Sunday, he makes mistakes. You win that game. And they just didn't get it. Hey, it's a little bit of a concern that you get Chris Jones back. He played as many snaps as he did, and they weren't able to get that pressure. But at the same time, they did it for four games. So is this just simply that they didn't bring their A game against the Raiders? This was the Raiders Super Bowl. I mean, You know, we got the story that apparently they asked the bus driver to drive the bus around the stadium for a celebration. I mean, this was the Raiders Super Bowl. And it certainly wasn't for the Chiefs. I mean, for the Chiefs, this is just another Sunday day at work. And yeah, they looked like it.
I agree. And it makes me think about how they get the spark back, how they don't let that happen again, because there are other teams on this schedule coming that look like they should be a laydown game, too. My question to you is that I'm putting a lot of thought into when Colin Saunders returns to get somebody else on the interior into that rotation, somebody that I still feel has some spark. It was an elbow injury, so there's still something to be said about how you can deliver that power. But do you see that as a boon that can maybe give some fresh legs to this front?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think that would be something to look at, especially on the interior, because that's where the Chiefs are the thinnest. I mean, they've got some depth at defensive end, and I don't think that's been a huge issue. It's really, you know, been more of just, and I want to circle back to it because you mentioned about getting this team fired up. The fact that they're not playing in front of fans, and as few fans as there are in Arrowhead, I mean, players are struggling with that. They will readily admit it, that, you know, it's that playing in front of nobody's tough to do. And just because on TV, maybe it looks and sounds just, you know, close to normal as it can be, it's not normal in these stadiums. And it's difficult for these guys to, you know, to always find the energy. And I think you've seen that not just from the Chiefs, but I think other teams have had the same issues too about how to find it. And, you know, Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark, I mean, they are the energy drivers on this team. I mean, they're the ones on defense that are going to have to dig up and get it going. And the it may just be just the realities that we're going to have to face in this environment is that there are going to be maybe more weeks than usual where teams just don't find that energy. They don't find that drive that they have week in and week out, you know, playing in front of nobody.
Well, and that's a good point. And it brings me back to the other side of the ball, too. I thought my reaction to Travis Kelce's statement about him having to play better was almost a little bit of shock, because I felt like he was the one guy who was working to get open all the time. Yes, he had mistakes, certainly. But is that a sign more so of just how much of a surprise it was that these Raiders were able to capitalize on mistakes? Or is that a general maturation from Kelce? Or is it something else that's going on that they have to strive to find something to get them going?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of everything, like you said. I think it's certainly a little bit of the shock that they didn't perform up to their expectations. But I also think that it's just that the competitiveness of so many of the Chiefs and the teammates that he has rubbed off on him. I mean, you know, there's just this the reason why this group seems to work is that, and go back to Eric Bieniemy calling everybody a competitive prick. I mean, they got a lot of those guys, and that rubs off on people. It absolutely does. And I think it does. I think it speaks to Kelce's expectations of himself that even if he has what I thought was a pretty good game, yeah, he had a couple of mistakes. People are going to make mistakes. But I didn't think that, you know, by any stretch of the imagination that he was somebody who should have his head down. But he's so competitive at this point in his career that, yeah, he absolutely feels like he could have done more.
I'm pretty impressed with it. And I hope that, like you said, that fuels not only him, but the rest of the roster as well. And you went in some place that I was getting ready to go. So well done. A lot of talk about Eric Bieniemy right now.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking not only in terms of if I'm Eric Bieniemy, like, where do I want to go? Do I have any interest in these openings that are so early in the season? But on the flip side, I'm also wondering about, this is already a team that's won a championship that is having trouble getting motivated right now. If they were to lose Eric Bieniemy, that's a big shot in the arm that they don't have anymore.
Yeah, I think that when Eric Bieniemy is gone, and I certainly expect in January or February, he will be gone. It's something that's tough to replace, because he has been, you know, I mean, he's been with Andy Reid in Kansas City since day one. And so you really don't know what the Chiefs under Andy Reid look like without Eric Bieniemy. And his leadership and his coaching and the energy that he brings, that extends beyond the running back room, beyond the offense. I mean, it's whole team wide. I mean, anybody who's been to training camp has heard Eric Bieniemy's voice, because he's screaming at guys. Not only even always his own guys. Sometimes it's other groups' guys. Sometimes it's defensive guys. So, I mean, he is a tremendous part of that team, and not just the offense. And yeah, I mean, I think that is going to be a huge loss, because there's not a lot of guys like Eric Bieniemy. You know, Dylan McCullough is kind of cut from the same cloth. So having someone around like him, especially in the running back room, I think will be a help in the transition. But, you know, Eric Bieniemy is one of a kind. I mean, there's just not a lot of guys out there like him. And there's certainly not anybody exactly like him on the Chiefs staff.
That said, I agree with you. January, February, whenever this March, if the Super Bowl goes that far, whenever the team's schedule is over, do any of the current vacancies, if you're advising Eric Bieniemy, do any of these look like something that you want to get involved in?
I mean, I like the Houston job in general. The one tough thing about it is that Bill O'Brien gave away all the draft picks. So it's going to be tough. But you got a quarterback that you can build around and work with. And at the same time, not a quarterback that you are tied to. So if it doesn't work out, you're not going to get blamed for Deshaun Watson not working out. But that's still a really good quarterback. And I think it's a quarterback that would work well with whatever Eric Bieniemy wants to do. I have felt for a couple of years now that the best team for Eric Bieniemy would be a veteran team, whether they have a quarterback that's ready now or they're in that area of transition, but a veteran team that just needs a new voice and a, you know, a kick in the pants and a new direction. Houston fits that. Once again, I mean, the only thing that bothers me about that job is that Bill O'Brien gave away all your draft capital, and now you've got nothing to build around for a couple of years.
I see where you're going with that. And obviously, Deshaun Watson, I think, is one of the elite of his generation right now, it looks like. Certainly a building block. I just have trouble with that organization having allowed Bill O'Brien to do all that and put the situation where it is now. I don't feel like that's a good support thing if I'm advising Eric Bieniemy. The Atlanta job looks different to me, though. And what do you think of that one?
Yeah, I mean, I generally like the Atlanta job because I think you've got a stable ownership. You've got a quarterback that, again, you're not tied to, but a quarterback who can absolutely be a part of a winning team right now or a transition to the future. Matt Ryan's age, you can go a lot of different directions. And it is. It's a veteran group that probably just needs a new voice and more than anything. The one job of all that I would still recommend that Eric Bieniemy not touch with a 10-foot pole is the New York Jets. And I get that some people will say, hey, it's New York, you can win there, all these things. The problem is that, you know, the Jets have struggled from one coach to another. And the culture problem with the Jets can't be fixed by a coach because the culture problem, it goes higher than that. It goes up to ownership, and that's not going to be fixed. Eric Bieniemy, as much of a culture guy as he is, and I think he can bring pressure into our organization, he's not going to be able to fix the Jets problem because nobody's been able to fix the Jets problem. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. I mean, with the quarterback situation and everything, no, I don't want any part of that. Atlanta and Houston, there may be some other jobs that open up that I think would be attractive, but I think both those situations are pretty good.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something to be picked there. I am waiting for one other one that I do think is going to open up eventually, and I think he'll be very interested in that. But that's a whole different day and a whole different scenario. Thanks for all of your time today, Matt, and telling us where we're at right now.
Thanks, Ryan. Always good talking to you, man.
Folks, that's it for us today. We appreciate Matt being back on. We appreciate everything you guys do for us. Let us know what you think. Leave it at the iTunes and the reviews and all that stuff. We appreciate your time. Thanks for listening today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.